The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, in again for Brother Bert Harper. And once again this afternoon, it is my privilege to welcome to the microphones Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex, good afternoon.
Hello, my dear brother Jim Stanley. How are you today?
I am doing well. You know, this next interview that we have today, it's not Bill Gaither, but he's close.
Oh, man, that was pretty special yesterday.
That was. And so, as we're talking about exploring the Word, this goes arm in arm with what M.D. Perkins is here to talk to us about. He is the director, producer for The God Who Speaks, and I believe he was also producer for you, Alex, on your 21 Toughest Questions Kid Will Ask About God, the DVD set that we have.
Exactly, and it was a great honor to do that. And, oh, I'm so excited about The God Who Speaks. Let me tell you, we had an exclusive screening of it at Truth for a New Generation this past weekend, and hundreds of people saw that movie for the very first time, and all day, the next day, all they did, they talked about what an impactful and exceptionally well-done film that is.
All right. MD, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Yeah, and it was an honor to be with you there in Greensboro, Alex. The response from the film there was just fantastic.
Praise the Lord. And you did well. Jim, I pulled him up on stage on Saturday, and I said, listen, we've got people here from 19 states, and most saw the film, but you know, I coaxed MD up on stage, and he did a great job telling the crowd and everybody watching online about it. But, you know, this is really important. And on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I, we come to the mic with the absolute conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. It is, and not only compelling lines of evidence point to the truth of God's Word, but Jesus himself in John 10, verse 35, Jesus said, the Scripture cannot be broken. Mm-hmm. So, fellas, that's why I'm so excited for the God who speaks to instruct this generation on the authority of Scripture and why we are compelled by the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's something that we have to remember, and it does have to be defended, like you said, Alex, in every generation. Every generation has to stake their own claim in the battle for the Bible, so to speak. And we're so thankful to have been a part of a project like this and to be able to sit down with some of the people who in previous generations, guys like R.C. Sproul or Norman Geisler, you know, were a part of those major battles for the Bible happening in the 70s with some of the inerrancy debates. But of course, the questions may change slightly over time, but the fundamental questions are always the same, isn't it? Did God truly say, you know, back to Genesis 3, did God truly say? That's always the question that the devil uses. It just changes forms from age to age.
It sure does. And folks, The God Who Speaks is available at afastore.com, that net, afastore.net. I had to rethink that there. Mm-hmm. But we hardly do anything .com here. It's all .net. So I don't know why I struggle with that. But we invite you to get your copy this afternoon. And today has been a special emphasis day on The God Who Speaks. And MD, I'm not sure, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I believe coming in a couple of months, we're going to have something to go along with that, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in the middle of producing a Sunday school curriculum. It's called The God Who Speaks Sunday School Kid. It's an 8-week study that is a video study intended for small groups, Sunday school classes, and that kind of thing. And it's 30-minute sessions, and it pulls out a lot of the added the bonus interview footage, you know, because we had 30 hours of interview footage for this documentary, and just so many great statements, so many helpful things said. And so it's a fuller look, a more detailed, I guess, and nuanced look at many of the topics that we talk about over the course of the documentary. And of course, it's unique in the fact that the same team who produced the documentary also made the curriculum. So there's a lot of ways in which they don't step on each other's toes, so to speak. You know, you can watch the documentary and be helped and encouraged by it, and then you can sit down with the Sunday school kit and get some of the same information, but also in a fuller sense, and so it's not necessarily just a repetition of the things that you heard in the documentary. And we're hoping that that will be available in late April and early May. So the God Who Speaks Sunday school kit, watch for that on the God Who Speaks.org.
All right, MD, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I would just love to say that, you know, really the main purpose that we made this film is to deepen people's confidence in the Scripture as the Word of God. And we wanted to present the facts. All of the evidence is there, like Alex has said. I mean, he's spoken on this at so many points, and I know he, Alex, you get a ton of questions about how can you trust the Bible or how do you know that it hasn't been changed over the years and all those kinds of things. A lot of questions on people's mind. You don't have to be a PhD to be able to defend the Bible, but what you do need is a handful of tools in your tool belt, so to speak, a little bit of history, a little bit of theology, and just answers to a handful of the technical questions that you might get. And we try to give all that to you in a very accessible, easy to understand way, because we want the church to be called back to the authority of God's word, because it's the foundation for everything that we do as Christians, everything that we do as a church. And it's the hope of the dying world. So that's what we want for this documentary and for people to connect with it and understand that more fully.
Well, that was, and Alex, I'll let you have the last question here in just a moment, but I wanted MD to know that I like conversations, mm-hmm. and so I don't have a scripted set of questions I'm going to ask you, and so that's why I always give the person the chance to say, hey, is there another thing you'd like to emphasize? Because I have to tell you, the God Who Speaks is a project that has literally been birthed here at AFA and American Family Studios. And for the rest of it, we just get to ride on the wave, so to speak. You guys have gone in and done all the work. We just get to be the cheerleaders. And so anything AFR can do to help you get the word out about the God Who Speaks, no pun intended on exploring the word here on American Family Radio, we want to help you guys do that. So when the Sunday school material, small group material, individual study material comes out, it can be used for any of that, much like the 21 toughest questions that your kids are going to ask about God. You know, that has a teacher's guide. It has a study guide that goes along with it. And of course, Alex was key in that. And the God Who Speaks has just been a tremendous blessing to us here. And American Family Studios in and of itself, with the Cultural Institute and some of the other things that you guys have going on, and ladies, guys is no longer the generic term it used to be. We're excited about that. Alex, any last thoughts from you, sir?
Well, MD, as you were filming all of these scholars, you know, maybe you saw something that I've noticed. A lot of the people that you booked for the film are people like Norm Geisler, Lee Strobel, Frank Turek, you know, all the Erwin Lutzer.
Yeah.
These are people that have spoken in our conferences for 20 years. Here's something that I love. All of these scholars like Lutzer and Josh McDowell, they've been immersed in this for years, and yet their zeal and their enthusiasm for the Scriptures is just so contagious. And wasn't it a blessing as you're interviewing all these people and filming them that you could tell, academically they've got the goods and they know all of their content, but from their heart, I mean, they were so excited about the fact that, yes, God has given His Word to the human race. I just found their enthusiasm just so refreshing.
It absolutely, Alex. I mean, you know, because you've met many of these people yourself. There's just a love for God and a love for God's Word and a desire, a love for God's church too, and a recognition and a desire that the people will know and trust the Bible that they hold in their hands and be able to not just affirm it as an evangelical doctrine, you know, that we can all say, yes, we have a high view of the Bible and we've kind of settled that issue and we can go to bed now. But the real point is that we will get to know the God of the Bible. And Amen. That was just so, so evident from so many of the people that we interviewed. And, you know, I really think that that's part of why they even agreed to do the project. You know, not all of them necessarily know me from anybody. Of course, it's helpful to have the name of AFA behind you. But when you reach out to these guys and they're like, yes, this is a topic that is important to talk to people about today, we're happy to help make that stand, and we'd love to help you do that in any way.
All right, folks, again, it's The God Who Speaks, and it's available at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. MD, thanks for taking time to be with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jim and Alex. It's great to be with you all.
God bless you, brother. Well, folks, this afternoon, we're going to pick up in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, and, you know, as we transition... having interviews on Exploring the Word is not something we do very often. And so when we do, it's because we've got something extra special to talk to you about. And so we really do appreciate MD coming over for that and telling us about the God who speaks on this emphasis day that we've given over to that. Because again, you know, part of what AFR does, part of why we're here, is to be a cheerleader for the things that God's doing through the American Family Association. And so it's to help equip the body of Christ, and that's one of the reasons for this program, is to help to equip the body of Christ for day-to-day life. And apologetics is such a big part of that. In fact, Alex, I had asked the store just the other day to send me a copy of the 21 Toughest Questions Kids Will Ask About God, because I had a parent who had emailed in and was asking how to explain the Trinity to his 8-year-old son. And so I in fact, even emailed you about that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to send him a copy of that project free of charge, no charge to him. And so we're going to get that out to him in the next couple of days and hope that it will be a blessing to him and his family. So, folks, I would encourage you to go by afastore.net. That's afastore.net, and check out all the things that we have going on there. I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised.
And let me throw this too in, Jim, and I don't mean to, you know, make this a commercial about the things that we're doing with American Family Studios, but, you know, everybody's concerned about 20-somethings and millennials and younger college students. I did an audiobook with Jeff Shambly and his great staff over at American Family Studios, and it's called The God You Thought You Knew, Exposing Common Myths About Christianity. And Jim, I was on the road over, you know, 2016, 2017, talked to about 330 18 to 24-year-olds. And I said, you know, what are your spiritual beliefs? What do you believe about God or Christianity? And so we go over in this audiobook that just came out about 2 weeks ago, and it's at the AFA store, you know, things like this. If God is love, if God is powerful, why is there suffering in the world? Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? And how do we know the Bible is really trustworthy? And why are Christians judgmental? And yes, we get into the moral issues. Why does the church condemn homosexuality? You know, this is on the minds of 20-somethings. And so if you go on the AFA store and Google my name, you'll find that audio book that just came out.
Amen. Folks, don't forget this week, if you will go by, today is still Wednesday. I had a temporary moment of panic there because I had not randomly drawn any winners for the three Dr. David Jeremiah study Bibles that we have, the Jeremiah study Bible. And so if you'll go by Facebook and like our page there, so it's simply facebook.com/exploringtheword, you'll find the post pinned there at the top. And all we're asking you to do is to simply like and share the page. And if you'll do that, then we'll put your name in the hat and we'll randomly draw three winners. And as I promised, if we hit 1,000, then I'll take and add another Bible to that. And so, you know, right now we're only at about 105 shares, and we've had several more likes and a lot of comments. So those are very encouraging. So I invite you again to go by facebook.com/exploringtheword. And we continue right after this.
It is so wonderful to be able to listen to the gospel, the opinions, the views, the information that we receive from the right side of the track instead of the left side.
Hi, this is Abraham Hamilton III, and it excites me beyond measure to hear how God is using American Family Radio. He's doing an amazing work here.
What draws me to your station is the opportunity to get involved. I receive action alerts via email on a regular basis. And since I don't watch TV, my news comes from listening to your broadcast, especially today's issues.
God is using American Family Radio to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Please partner with us in this important effort during our 3-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, April 17th.
May God continue to provide for many more years as you strive to serve Him.
Dr. Tony Evans says a lot of people hold on tight to the trappings of religion, but manage to miss its heart completely. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you do not have a football, there will be no football game. No matter how big and elegant the stadium is, if that's missing, everything else you do is a waste of time. There will be no basketball game if there is no basketball. Because the basketball is the centerpiece of the game, and no matter the fact that you have a rim and a net and a backboard and a court, all of that will be wasted time, money, and energy if there is no basketball. If there is no soccer ball, there will be no soccer match. Because at the center of the match is the soccer ball, and having everything else is a waste if that ball is missing. When it comes to our faith, Jesus Christ is the centerpiece. He is the key to not only the Christian faith, but your experience with God. If there is no Jesus, there is no Christianity. And if there is no Christianity, then we are of all men most miserable, because then there is no hope. It is how you place Jesus Christ that will affect how much of God you experience. If you hold God high but hold Jesus low, then you will limit the amount of God you will experience.
Discover the benefits of putting first things first, starting with the Lord. Check out Tony's CD series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. And then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
In John 4, verse 25, a woman told Jesus, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I that speak unto thee am He." Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Turn with us to John chapter 4. Jim, wouldn't you have loved to have just been back in the background listening? Can you imagine? She says, "I know that the Savior is going to come one day." Heard about Him. They read about Him in the Scripture. Preachers say the Savior, the Messiah, will come one day. Jesus says, "The one you're talking to, it's Me. Yeah. I'm the Savior."
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
amazing.
You know, and here it is. He's telling an individual, you know, because she's gone through this and said, "Look, this Messiah that's coming, you know, He's not for us." But Jesus said, "Yeah, there's a time coming that God's opening up to those who will worship Him how? In spirit and in truth."
That's right.
And so God is spirit there in verse 24, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Alex, where you mentioned there in verse 26, "I who speak to you am He," we see that again over in Mark, the 14th chapter. And interestingly enough, it's when they're trying to condemn Jesus. And so they asked Him. And then asked Him again there Mark 14. And then Jesus said unto them in verse 62, He said, let me go back to 61. "But He kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked Him, saying to Him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' In verse 62, Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" Now, the Amplified says that just a little differently. And so I wanted to share that. Well, I don't have it from there. I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Well, and you know,
but
Jim,
it expands it and says, "You all will see the Son of Man coming."
Yeah. You know, in the Mark 14, this is huge for a couple of reasons. One, even critics generally accept the authority of Mark. Now, obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John We know they are all the inspired word of God, mm-hmm. but a lot of critics, they don't like John because John is so overtly, clearly portraying Jesus as the Son of God. But even critical scholars will accept Mark. Well, when the high priest says, you know, I command you, tell us, are you the Son of God? And Jesus quotes two passages. He quotes Exodus 3:14 and Daniel chapter 7. And he says, I am. Now, a pious Jew of the first century wouldn't have even uttered those words because that was the voice from the burning bush that told Moses, I am that I am, speaking of God's eternality. And then Jesus quotes Daniel 7, hereafter you will see me, the Son of Man, coming on clouds of glory. And so Jesus clearly was portraying himself as God incarnate, the fulfillment of scriptures. And Jim, let me just say this. College kids often say that a professor said, well, you know, Jesus didn't really claim to be the Son of God. Jesus' core message was love your neighbor.
Mm.
Folks, read Mark 14, 61 through 64. Here's the thing. To say, you know, love your neighbor, be a good person, that does not get you executed. Read Mark 14. They tore their clothes. They said, we have no other need of further charges. Mm-hmm. He has blasphemed. Jesus was executed for a lot of reasons, to pay for our sin, but he claimed to be the Messiah, the fulfillment of the scriptures, God incarnate. And, you know, let me say back to John 4, those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. That's John 4:24. You know, another verse is 1 John 3:23, where the Word of God says, this is the command to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jim, if we're going to worship God, not on our own terms, but as He has commanded, we have to accept what Jesus claimed about Himself, that He is the Son of God, the Savior.
Amen. And I like what you said there, that professors say that he never claimed that. You know, that goes back to, and it's interestingly enough, this came up in another conversation, that literally goes back to Jesus. When did God say, you know? And so here in modern day, they're once again saying, God didn't say that. That's not what his message was about.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that's entirely what his message was about. Was to let you know who he was, why he was, and what he was going to be. That was the message of Christ. And Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me.
Amen. You know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, it's been long documented that all cultures throughout history have had a knowledge of morality. And people like C.S. Lewis have written about how, you know, we don't always follow it. We don't always do what's right, but deep down we know what's right. And the moral ethical code throughout history looks a lot like the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. You know, don't lie, don't steal, don't murder. Well, you know, like we've said, be a good person, you know, love your neighbor. They don't execute you for that. You know, if anything, you'll get a pat on the back. Jesus, John 8:24, we're not there yet to John 8, but in John 8:24, Jesus said regarding his saviorhood, he is the Messiah. He said, quote, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Mm.
That's John 8:24. So Jesus was clearly, unmistakably claiming to be God incarnate. And we go on in John chapter 4, and as we opened up this segment with, you know, she said, yeah, the Messiah is going to come. I've heard about that. He says, I that speak unto thee am he. And you go on, his disciples marvel that he was talking to a woman, but as we said, you know, he was willing to go through Samaria because a soul to be saved was more important than time or money to be saved. And I love it in verse 28 and 29. The woman left her water pot from the well, very deep well, 175 feet below ground to get water. And she said to the city, come see the person who told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? One thing about Jesus, he sees clear through to the heart, doesn't he, Jim?
Absolutely. And he, to think about that, to tell us the things he's done, and then knowing that he's going to shed his blood to cover those very same things.
You know, that's why all we can really do is fall humbly before the Lord and admit. And folks, you need, Alex McFarland is a sinner. Now, I'm a forgiven sinner.
Right.
And I thank God for saving me at age 21. But don't think for a minute that we're up on a high horse, like we're better than anybody. We're all sinners. There's a saying, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're equal before God. And what we have to do, we say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I beg your forgiveness. Because, see, he sees our heart. The woman is right. Here's a man who could tell everything we've ever done or will do. And God knows our motive. God knows what's in our heart. And we would just encourage everyone listening, if you've never been saved, today you need to know that the Lord loves you. God knows you, warts and all, secret, those things you'd just as soon not talk about, God knows it, and he loves you. So call on Jesus today and be saved.
You know, Alex, when you say the things that we don't want people to know about us are sometimes the thing people do know about us, he is able. We talk about it, and a lot of times we get caught up in Christianese, and folks don't understand just how great the power of the blood of the Lamb is.
Amen.
That it can literally wash us whiter than snow. And you think of a beautiful snowy day in Aspen, Colorado, you know, and very fresh powder, as they like to call it. Think about how beautiful and white that is. Or in Sweden, and how beautiful and white some of that is. None of that in this day and age is as pure as we can be washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's Amen. How well and thoroughly he cleans. And folks, I said it yesterday, I say it again, I say it as often as needed. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He literally took our place of death so that we have the hope of eternal life through him. And so, as Alex said, if you don't know Christ and you happen to be listening, folks, he can forgive you of anything. Hear me. He can forgive you of anything. Maybe you've had an abortion and you regret that. The same God, the same Christ who paid for Jim Stanley's sins, paid for those sins. There is healing and forgiveness and fullness of life when you come to Christ. And so bear that in mind. Maybe you're coming out of a homosexual lifestyle. That same blood is able to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Maybe you're coming out of an adulterous heterosexual affair. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Sin is sin is sin. And the blood of the Lamb can wash that entirely clean. If you need to know Christ today, I invite you to call 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. And as I mentioned before, if you need a study Bible, if you come to Christ today and you need a study Bible, just email us to word@afr.net. That's word@afr.net. Alex?
You know, on in John chapter 4, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, how do you do what you're doing? We need some food to eat. Jesus says, I've got meat or sustenance that you don't know of. And it goes on, and the disciples said, you know, has somebody brought him some food or something? And verse 34, and this ties in with John 17, Jesus said, my meat or my purpose or my driving sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, what's really interesting is in John 17, 4, Jesus is on his way to the cross, which is very appropriate. We talk about this here on Easter week. But Jesus said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Mm. Now, Jim, I've often thought about, isn't it going to be a wonderful thing at the end of our life, whenever that may come, to be able to look back and to know that you did what the good Lord put you here to do? And as again, 1 John 3:23, step one, is to believe on Jesus. I mean, that is the primary thing. All of the other things are ancillary. The primary thing, to be saved. Well, as a believer, we grow, and God has a plan for every life. I firmly believe it, that every life is meaningful, and there are no accidents. Every life has a purpose. And just as Jesus said, you know, my will is to finish the work of the one who sent me. Folks, number one, get saved, but then love your family. If you're married, it is God's will that you love your spouse and be true to your spouse, to provide for your family, but then to be a part of a church. Jim, I don't think that the child of God can ever fully achieve their calling and their purpose unless they're a part of a local church and be with the people of God. Hebrews 10:25 talks about assembling together. And so sometimes we'll get a call or an email and people will say, you know, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What is God's will for my life? Well, number one, to be saved, then to grow in your relationship with Christ, to love and serve your family. But then we really find our identity through being a part of the family of God. Hmm. And so let me just challenge you in the spirit of John 4:34 and John 17:4, which mirrors it, finish the work God's put you here to do.
Amen. You know, and as you say that, we continue in that chapter, and it says, do not say there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. And, of course, Jesus says, "Look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest." And then he goes in to a principle that's repeated by Paul later in Scripture. And he said, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and now you entered into their labor. And so, Alex, today you and I, you know, when you laid out the plan of salvation a moment ago, you know, you may be, it may be because of that someone comes to know Christ, but that heart may have been prepared before by a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, an older sibling, you know, whatever the case, that heart, that seed may have been planted long ago, or perhaps today we're planting seeds for a harvest yet to come. But either way, it goes back to being part of one body, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. That's why, if you're a Christian, you can meet up with a virtual stranger, but if you both have Jesus, it's like family. It's like a dear old friend, because the Spirit in you is the Holy Spirit in them as well. That's why, if you're lonely, one of the great perks, I mean, there's a lot of benefits of being a born-again child of God, but I think one of the great benefits, a perk, is to be a part of the family of God, and you've got a friend no matter where you go.
Amen. A friend that sticks closer than family, too. Alex, along those lines, again, going through some of the Facebook stuff we've had going on here the last few days, I've received a couple of messages, and there is a gentleman that's troubled because he has a financial concern. Mm-hmm. But his posts have troubled me somewhat, and he seems very down and very depressed. So I'd like to call on our extended family here to pray for this gentleman. You don't have to know his name. The Lord does. And pray for him, and pray for him in the situation that he's in, because he seems depressed. But Alex, like you just said, there are friends that stick closer than brothers.
Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, how will it be seasoned? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Matt Walsh wrote a piece for the Daily Wire where he said, "The contemporary American Christian is the most open-minded person to have ever existed. He's so open-minded, you can hardly tell he's Christian or has a mind at all. He has for a long time been open to the idea that marriage isn't permanent and sex isn't meant exclusively for marriage. He's basically open to whatever notions are popular. He is open. And where he is not open, he is silent.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio.
Do you want your life to really matter? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You want to make the rest of your life the best of your life? It's not going to happen unless you put God's action plan into practice in your life. And you will have the experience one day of standing before the Lord and hearing Him say to you, "Well done."
Discover how you can hear God say, "Well done." Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper, and happy to be alongside Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, be sure and visit alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com. Because, folks, I want to be as honest with you as I can about Dr. Alex McFarland and how blessed we are to have him as part of the ministry of AFR and on Exploring the Word. Alex gets a small thank you. Maybe some folks would call it an honorarium for the programs that he does for us. But folks, there is no way the man makes a living on what he receives from us as a gift offering to him. And so I want you folks, when you can bring Alex to your church, or you have Alex at your church, when they pass that love offering plate, folks, you need to put some jingle in it and some folding in it. And then also visit alexmcfarland.com. Because my brother is a fluent author, and what he has written, you can lay it down beside the scripture, and it will enhance your scripture study in so many different ways. And also, he's got an audio book coming out as well, so that you can listen to it going down the road. But I promise you, there are a lot of preachers in this country, but when you get Alex in the pulpit, or you get Alex one-on-one, and you have the opportunity to talk to him, you will receive a genuine blessing from the Lord.
Oh, you're so kind, Jim. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I do love to preach, though. I'll preach at the drop of a hat, and I'll drop the hat.
That's right. Well, folks, the phone number this afternoon is 888-589-8840. We made it through verse 38, so we'll stick a pin right there, and we'll take your phone calls at 888-589-8840. We're going to head to Texas and talk to Mary. Mary, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband said the word Easter is in one of the four Gospels in biblical days. What was that representing then, and when did it become a Christian holiday?
Great question. The word Easter is in the Bible in one place. It's in Acts 12, verse 4, as far as I... That's the only place that I can... find it, but it's really the word for Passover. And the Greek translation, it's in the King James as Easter, but it's really a word for Passover.
All right, Miss Mary, thank you for your call this afternoon. We appreciate it. And, you know, this is one of those times that folks try and not Miss Mary. That's not what I'm saying. But it's another one of those things that has a tendency to kind of divide the body. You know, folks want to say that it's a pagan holiday or that it's not of Christ. Well, you know, that's the same argument they use about music. And believe me when I tell you, not all music is of the Lord. And I'll grant you that. But I believe it was John Wesley or his brother Charles who said, you know, not all good music should belong to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
good.
don't let the difference between Easter and Resurrection Sunday spoil the fact that you get to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. All right. We're going to head back to the phones here in just a second, and we're going to talk to Stacy in Kansas. She's coming up next. And Alex, will you be at home this weekend, or will you be on the road traveling?
I will be in North Carolina. I'm going to be home for Easter weekend, but heading out pretty soon next week.
All right. Where are you headed next week?
Well, I've got to go to South Carolina, but then also I'm going to be heading over to Mississippi before too long to not only be at AFA, but be in Columbus, Mississippi. And, you know, let me just say this while we're talking a little bit about calendar. I'm going to be at the Cove in July. And the reason I know July is a number of months away, but I'm going to be teaching through the book of Amos. And there are a lot of great Bible teachers that go to the Cove every year, people like John MacArthur and Erwin Lutzer and more. But if you go to thecove.org, come out in July and we'll go through the book of Amos together.
And folks, when you're at the Cove, from the time you walk through that door, it's all about service. Those people there are to serve you. When you arrive there, you can literally feel the presence of God and see the testimony of God, regardless of what the season is, because the beauty of the Lord is there. But more important, the Spirit of the Lord seems to reside there because of the prayer covering that those folks who work and volunteer there bring with them each day. They really are there as servants of Christ.
Amen. Well,
let's talk to Stacy now. Stacy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick story. I was used to be a paramedic once upon a time, and I transported a gentleman home to his house from the hospital. Him and his wife was traveling down the road, and she was sitting there reading the Bible, and she raised up in the seat and was looking out the windshield and told her husband, she said, look at all the angels. And she passed away right there. And of course, for his despair, he crashed his car. And that's how I met the gentleman. But he was, under circumstances, he was quite happy for what had happened.
Mm. Wow. Stacy, thank you for sharing that story. Because the confidence that someone has to know that they're about to enter into the presence of the Lord is incredible. And as we were talking with Bill Gaither yesterday, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about with him. He doesn't have a retirement plan. His retirement plan is to enter in into the arms of the Lord. The number to call this afternoon is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call.
And Jim?
Yes, sir.
Let me comment a little bit about the previous caller. You know,
okay.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says that angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And, you know, Angie is a nurse, and when we first got married, she was working in a hospital, and she's worked in doctor's offices. It's interesting. I've talked to literally dozens of nurses and doctors over the years. We've met a lot of medical professionals through Angie's career. And I will tell you, they said literally hundreds of people over the years that they've seen in the hospital who would say at the point of death, they would say, don't you see the angels in the room? Aren't they beautiful? Look at the angels. And, You know, when I was in seminary myself, there was a lady that we had been going to minister to, and she had bone cancer and she couldn't move. And in fact, once I very gently tried to touch her hand and she cried out in pain, and she was in such pain. And one day, a Saturday afternoon, I'll never forget, she sat up in the bed. She just sat up, which surprised everybody because she couldn't move. And huge smile on her face. She said, "I see Jesus." And she fell back and she was gone. And so sometimes when skeptics will ask, you know, do you have any evidence for the supernatural realm or for God or angels? Talk to medical professionals in the hospital, and the number of people who right at the point of death claim to see angels, I just cannot believe it's entirely coincidental.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we're going to talk to Ramona in Oklahoma. And Ramona, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I think the man said that you're running out of time, and I had a couple questions. One was about a friend who's Russian Orthodox, and she, you know, they have icons and stuff in their church, and she believes in talking to the saints, and she was saying that the real Easter is not April 1st, but being that the Jewish Passover is this year, at the same time, I'm more likely to believe ours is the correct date, but she's just saying their Orthodox church is the first original church. But my main question that it really is hurting me right now, because I'm sitting here crying, is because I did call 1-888-NEED-HIM, and my husband is 76 years old and working at a minimum wage job after he design programs. He was that intelligent. He went to the seminary, was straight A student in Greek and Hebrew, dropped out of seminary during Vietnam, but was intelligent enough to design the programs that run the plant here in Ardmore, Oklahoma, the tire plant. But now he's working at age 76 to pay my medical bills that were caused by this hospital here. And I called 888-NEED-HIM, and I got a man from Canada who told me to get in touch with David Gibbs and gave him the phone number, because he said that God is a God of justice, and that if the CEO had promised to pay all my medical bills, that would be incurred by my falling on steps that were not built according to code, which they removed 6 days after I fell, and then tried to tell me they weren't there. They played mind games with me, knowing that I was depressed about the situation. So I don't know what the right thing to do is. I mean, he told me to just ask for prayer because you were out of time. I just want to do what the Lord would tell me, but $7 million worth of medical bills, just medical bills, not punitive damages, not the pain and suffering I've incurred, not all the damage they've done to my body. My back is essentially, every vertebrae has been broken. I've had to have a new hip put in, may need knee surgery. I'm in a lot of pain. I can't even sleep at night.
Well, so, Ms. Ramona, I'm not entirely sure. You know, we generally don't give legal advice, but, you know, Alex, it's obvious that she's hurting, and we don't want to just brush that off at all, because we do care about what's going on. I wouldn't even know how to begin to answer that question.
Because she mentioned David Gibbs. David is a friend and has spoken for us. He's a wonderful guy. And with the Christian Legal Society, if you contact David Gibbs, he will give you godly counsel and factual legal counsel. I know he's a great man, and he won't steer you wrong.
All right. There you go, Ms. Ramona. So follow up with David Gibbs there. All right, Alex, we're going to try and get one more call in this afternoon. Karen from Ohio, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to share, I attended seminary, and one of my professors was telling us a story. He was a missionary. And he was talking about a time that he shared the story about the woman at the well. And he said immediately the people in the country that he was talking to responded
saying, well, that man had to be Jesus. And he said, well, you haven't heard the whole story. And they said, well, anybody who would leave their water jugs at the well and run back into town without them had to believe that this was someone special. Because if you had to lug those jugs all the way out to the well and take them back to the city, you would never leave them.
You know, Karen, sometimes it's the smallest things in scriptures that we kind of take for granted. But, you know, that's a very, very key fact there. She had drawn the water, and because at that point, you know, Jesus had asked for the drink. And so then she did indeed leave those full water pots there. And those things that at that time, to have a clean vessel that you were keeping water in, those had value to them. So she basically left the valuables behind to go take the message of Christ to her city. So great, great comment there, Alex.
That's a very astute observation. Good eyes, my friend, good eyes.
All right. I think we may have time for another caller this afternoon. And we're going to talk to Bob calling from Arkansas. Bob, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I'll try to make it quick. I really appreciate you guys. I try not to ever miss you. Okay, you know, my mom died. I was with her. And I noticed her when she died, her chest heaved up. I mean, it really just heaved up. And I was always told, like a spirit was coming out. And I was always told, you know, when my mom died, I would, you know, cry. Boy, I cried like a baby. But let me tell you about my preacher right quick. He's passed away now. He used to be a mechanic, and he was my mentor. We spent a lot of time together. And one time he was doing the work. I was just looking. I wasn't a mechanic. But I just come out and said, for some reason, I said, you know, I was about 30 years old, and I never caught a bullfrog. And I said, for some reason, I said, you know, Brother Homer, I said, I've never in my life caught a bullfrog. I said, if I do, I said, it might be the happiest day of my life. I just what I said. And then he said, oh, boy, you're crazy. And I said, well, maybe it might be the saddest day of my life. Let's fast forward. I used to haul gas and diesel for Exxon, gasoline tanker. Went down to Little Rock to pick up foggy. I said, I'm not going to drive in this fog. So I slumped over the steering wheel. When I got up, it was that daylight, I saw these blobs all over the pavement. But what in the world? And so I got out and looked, got closer. They were huge. I've never seen bullfrogs. I mean, they were, you pick them up, and them legs seemed like they were 2 feet long, just long, long, you know, huge. I picked up another one, I picked up another one. So I got my load of gas and diesel, went back home, and did my thing, unloaded the gas, went home. I got a telephone call. It was from my preacher's son, who looked just like him, and he told me that he had passed away. And I said, wow, you know, I didn't realize it right then. But, you know, when he said he had passed away that day, it was the same, it was, you know, the same morning, it was that day that when I got the bullfrog. And, you know, that wasn't a few years later, but I remember what I said. I said, you know, remember I said that might be the happiest day of my life, but then I said, well, it might be the saddest day of my life. I'll tell you, went to his funeral. There was a preacher that said, the preacher, we're going to sing a certain song tomorrow. I overheard it. And he went to the service, and my boy said, well, my dad never cries. My dad never cries. But when they played that song, I've never heard it before. I've never heard it since. But the only time I ever cried like that was when my mom died. But I mean, you talk about somebody crying. My boy looked at me like, yeah, you should have seen him look like he couldn't figure why I was crying. He never seen it like that. But the point is, God's in the details, you know. A story like that every day.
Bob, we appreciate that, brother. Appreciate you sharing. We're coming up on the end of the show. And Alex, tell us real quick when you're going to be in Columbus.
You know, let me tell you tomorrow because I want to make sure I get the date correct. How about that? I want to have my calendar in front of me.
All right, sounds good. Folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley in with Alex McFarland. Send us an email to word@afr.net with the questions that didn't get on.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.